and now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
We've discussed together the importance, the need of soul winning. The Lord placed us upon earth for a dual purpose, that is to save our soul and to be the means of reaching or helping to save someone else. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Soul winning, then, the Word of God says, is wisdom. And if we want to be wise, we must be concerned and involved in and interested about the business of soul winning. Jesus stated it in Luke 15:10, "Likewise, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." And so, since it brings joy, even in the presence of God and among the angels of God, when even one person repents, it must be the business of each one of us doing what we can to bring this about. And then the scripture in Psalm 126, verse 6, "He that goes forth weeping, bearing the precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." For the last two Sundays, we've noted first the imperative to go, of personal involvement. Last Sunday, we were concerned about attitude, the reason or the attitude that should motivate us to share the message. And now today, in the third aspect of that verse, I want us to note what we are to take, what our implements are, what our weapons are that we're to take with us in this business of being what the Lord would have us to be and doing what the Lord would have us to do. Notice with me again in that section of Scripture in Psalm 126:6, "He that goes forth weeping, bearing the precious seed." Whenever we're concerned about the souls of men, there isn't anything that will take the place of bearing or taking the precious seed. Human wisdom will not do the job. Some kind of magnetic personality will not be effective. If souls are to be saved, then they're going to be saved by and through obedience to the Word of God. There isn't anything that'll take the place. Doesn't matter how much person goes, how much person cares, if he doesn't take with him the Word of God, then not one single solitary soul will be lost. The sad part today in our age is that so many times there are those that do not take the Word of God, they do not teach the Word of God as it's taught, but they are busy going. They're busy going from place to place, pounding the sidewalks, knocking on doors, meeting multitudes of people. And many, many times these folks care. They care about the message that they proclaim. They care about the message that they carry, but it's not the truth of God. As Paul said to the church at Rome, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. There are multitudes of people in our day that have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. It's not according to the Word of God. Now, they go and they care and sometimes put us to shame, because they're involved, because they're committed about what they believe. I would to God today that every person who calls Jesus Lord and who claims Him as his or her Savior in the church would be as committed and as concerned about taking the precious seed, the Word of God, that we know will save the souls of those who obey it, as these folks are who do not follow the truth and do not teach a thus saith the Lord. I remember a few years ago when we lived in the Cincinnati area, sometime in this season of year, following Thanksgiving and then up until Christmas time, there would be those people who would man the little Salvation Army kittles, ringing their bells, soliciting offerings to help the poor and the needy, the down and outers. And I've seen some of those, oftentimes younger people, in downtown Cincinnati on Ray Street, manning those buckets, those kittles, and sometimes their hands would just about be blue from the cold. And I thought, I don't agree concerning their religion. Salvation Army is a church. A lot of folks don't understand that. It is a church. It's a religious institution, but it's a benevolent organization that does a tremendous amount along with their religion. But I thought about these people will stand out in the cold trying to get someone to give some money in order that they might buy some food for some needy. Now they're caring. Isn't any question about that? Not any question at all about it. What I'm saying is that oftentimes we as Christians, we don't go and we don't care enough about taking the Word of God, the precious seed. Jesus said in Luke 8 verse 11 that the seed is the Word of God. You remember He spoke a parable about the various types of soils. We don't have the time to go into all of them. But He began it by saying that the seed is the Word of God. That's the thing that's important. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. In Hebrews 11 verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the asunder, dividing asunder of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God, then, is quick and alive. It's piercing. It reaches into the heart. Jesus said it in John 6:63. He said, the flesh profits little. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Our Lord said that His Word was spirit and life. It's more than just words. More than just something written upon paper. It's more than paper and ink. It's a living message. James says in the first chapter of his book, whoever looks in the perfect law of liberty, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. The Word of God is so different from anything else. Today's newspaper will tell us about events that transpired yesterday. Some of these events that took place yesterday brought a lot of joy to a lot of hearts. And some of these events that took place yesterday brought a lot of sorrow to a lot of hearts. But it'll tell us about what happened. The Word of God, when we look at it, It doesn't tell us just what someone did, but it tells us what we are. It tells us what we are and what the Lord wants us to be. We see our own fallacies, our own blemishes, our own mistakes. It shows us just as we are. It's spirit, it's life, it's a living message. It's not something that's dead and out of date. I know that we live in a time when so many people, and I'm afraid so many people in the church, brethren, somewhat have the idea that the Scripture's all right. It's a wonderful message. It's a good book. It has a good thought in it, but it's rather optional. It's sort of a take it or leave it kind of thing. And some of us probably in this auditorium this morning feel that way about it. How and why do we? Because we absent ourselves from a regular study of the Word of God, say in a Bible class. Not only on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, but even Sunday night services. No, it's not because you don't stay away because you don't like the teacher. You don't stay away because you don't like the preacher. Because with some people, that's been a pattern of life for decades. There have been different teachers, there have been different preachers, and so that's not the issue. It's something wrong with our concept of what this book is and what this book proposes to do. That's the reason we don't go. That's the reason we don't care as we should. That's the reason we don't take the precious seed of the Word of God and implant it into the hearts and minds of people, because we superficially believe it. Now notice I said superficially. If we truly believe that every person in this county who has not obeyed the gospel and is not living for the Lord Jesus Christ was on his or her way to hell, we'd do more about it than we do. We would. Tonight, if you were driving down one of the streets in this city and you came by house and you saw smoke and flames coming from the roof of it. You saw a car parked in the driveway. I don't think you'd just drive alone down the street and say, well, I wonder if anybody was in that house. I think you'd stop your car and I think you'd scream to the highest of your ability, and you'd go up there and you'd pound on that door and you'd ask anybody in here asleep. This house is on fire. Why, sure we'd do that, wouldn't we? Every one of us would. I don't doubt that in the least bit. But brethren, there are a lot of people today that are living a life that's far worse than being in a house on fire. There are folks today that are lost in sin. They're on their way to a devil's hell. And it doesn't matter how repulsive that is. I know some churches have gotten so up to date that they've taken washed in the blood out of their hymnals because that's too gory. And they've tried to dress up and they've tried to air condition hell, try to make it comfortable, really gotten away from this book. From the precious seed, the Word of God. But I say to you that we need to realize that the Word and the Word only. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:1 to Timothy, that gospel preacher, to preach the Word, the instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, for the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. But they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, will turn away men from the truth. We need to preach the Word. We need to teach the Word. The Word and the Word only. So many, many times today, the church, and I'm not talking about any particular place, but I believe firmly the church generally all across the land has been fed on the milk and toast of the Word, that they become sick when they're taught the meat of God's Word. In Hebrews 5:12, when for the reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again that which be the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. We need to be teachers sharing the Word. In Jeremiah 23:29, your Word is as a fire and as a hammer which breaks the stone in pieces. Isn't that a beautiful way to describe how great, how tremendous the Word of God is? It's like fire. We know how powerful that is. How fire consumes practically anything in its path. The Word of God is like a hammer. It breaks the rock into pieces. That's what the Word of God is. The Word of God is strong enough, regardless of how hardened the heart may be, that Word of God can penetrate eventually and ultimately. How powerful it is. That's the precious seed. That's something that all of us should realize. The seed, the Word of God only, will make Christians only. It won't just reform lives, it'll change lives. It won't cause people just to give up some things, it'll cause people to be committed to something. The Word of God. And I hope and I pray that we will never, never lose sight of that fact. I'm afraid today the modern church, we've become prosperous. We've become popular. We've become rich. We've become affluent. And oftentimes, in face of all of this, we have forgotten what our mission is. We've forgotten what our purpose is. That purpose is to go because we care, because we have the attitude of love in our heart, and to take with us the Word of God. If our world's going to be different, it's going to be different because we, as Christians, carry that Word. Because we believe, as Paul taught Timothy, that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's the support of, and it perpetuates, it teaches, it transmits the truth. And we, as members of that spiritual body, each one of us, have that obligation. We have that responsibility. In John 6:44-45, our Lord said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I shall raise him up at the last day, for it is written, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who hath heard and learned of the Father comes to me." It's the Word of God that convicts, that convinces. That's the only thing that really does. No, we're not going to attract people because we can out-entertain Hollywood. You know, religious bodies down through the years have tried to attract people by all types of Hollywood guises. But all of this together will not save one single soul. It's the seed, the precious seed, the Word of God that's so strong and so powerful and so great. Let's never lose sight of it. Let's never forget, as Paul feared the church at Corinth would forget in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 2 and 3. I fear lest by any means, as Eve was beguiled through the subtlety of the serpents, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I've espoused you unto one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. He feared the day when maybe the church at Corinth would get self-satisfied. They'd get tired of the simplicity of the gospel. And they'd want something new and something different and something that they thought to be more attractive than the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel and the gospel only. The precious seed of the Word of God is the thing we must use and the thing we must follow. Anything else will not bring about the salvation of souls. Near the end of the Civil War, a farmer was drafted into the Confederate Army. He went with his rifle to join the forces or to be a part of the forces. He didn't understand the drill manual, and before he had been taught sufficiently, a battle ensued and he was immediately in the front of it. He didn't understand when the bugle sounded retreat. He didn't know what that was. And so on this day, this army was in this great battle and the southern troops were being defeated rather soundly, and the bugler sounded the alarm to retreat, and the army all fell back, taking care of their wounded, looking after their needs. And after a while, someone said, "You know, old Jim's not here. I wonder what happened to him. He must have been killed." He didn't know what the sound was to retreat, and he just went on into the battle. Near sundown that day, they saw two men coming over a hill. One of them dressed in blue and one in gray, and the blue was in front of the one in gray, and they wondered who it was. And after a little while, the two got closer to them, and they saw, well, that's Jim. Jim wasn't killed in that battle. That's Jim, and look. He has one of those Yankee soldiers in front of him. He has him a prisoner. And when he got into the camp, someone said, "Jim, we're so glad you didn't get killed. We were worried. We were bothered about you. Where'd you get that Yankee?" And Jim threw his shoulders back, and he was rather angered, and he thought they had deserted him, and he was bothered about it. He was angered about it. And he said, "Where did I get him?" He said, "I got him out there in the woods. And I want to ask each one of you, why don't you go out there and get one of them, because the woods are full of them." You know, that's what the Lord really is saying to us throughout His Word. Our world is full of sinners. What are we going to do about it? Our communities are full of people who are lost. What are we going to do about it? Why don't we reach one for the Lord Jesus? Take the precious seed, the Word of God, and go out and reach one soul that's lost for Jesus. You know, if we do that, we could, as Luke 14:23 says, fill God's house. You remember the A man who was told to go out into the highways, the hedges, the byways, the lanes, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, how does that house get filled? You go out into the highways, the byways, the lanes. You don't just get on the superhighway. You get out across the tracks or wherever. He really puts it down firm and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Not only that my house may be filled, but that souls may be saved. That's really what it's all about. Precious seed, the Word of God. We're going to have it in our hearts before we can transmit it to others. It's going to have to be meaningful to us, or we're not going to make it meaningful to someone else. We don't love the Word of God ourselves. We're not going to convince anyone else that they ought to follow it. What I'm saying is, we're going to have to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33. We're going to have to hunger and thirst after righteousness, Matthew 5:6. We're going to have to show that we love the Word of God. It means something to us. It means something to us on Wednesday night, Sunday morning. It means something to us all the time. And as it means something to us, we can then be the means of causing it to mean something to someone else. I'm not talking about folks who are providentially hindered. I'm talking about people whose hearts are not right. I'm not talking about sick folks. I'm talking about people who have attitude problems. That's what I'm talking about. Precious seed, the Word of God. Let's believe it's precious and let's use it. Let's transmit it. If you're not a Christian today, you need to become one. You need to believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess His name, be baptized. If you haven't done this, you need to start today in obedience to the gospel. Begin serving the Lord.